Take your Bibles and turn with me tonight to 1 Chronicles, chapter 4 in the Old Testament. 1 Chronicles, chapter number 4. People all over the world are now basing their prayer life on a little prayer offered up by a little, very little known man in the Bible named Jabez. They base it here out of 9 and 10. Look at it with me, 1 Chronicles 4, 9 and 10. "And Jabez was more honorable than his brethren, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, 'Because I bear him with sorrow.'" Remember, we talked about that name last week. "And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, 'Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me.' And God granted him that which he requested." People all over the world are basing their prayer life now on this little one-verse prayer. And of course, that's because of the little 93-page book called The Prayer of Jabez, sold over 9 million copies. And, you know, we showed right off the bat how that the book really, the whole idea is built on faulty premises. That is, that you repeat a prayer over and over, and then, you know, and that God wants us to do that. We know that's not true. God doesn't want us to just repeat prayers over and over. And then the premise that there's a kind of a magic formula for prayer, and there's not. And we've talked about that. We've shown you from the Bible that there's not some magic formula for prayer. God looks at the heart, and that's what He's looking at. There's no little magic words you can say, you know, to get God to do what we want Him to do. It just won't happen. And in verse 10, there, Jabez, part of his prayer there was, he said, "Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed." And from that one phrase, "Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed," those that are teaching this book, they teach Christians based on this, that the pleas for God, those pleas for God to bless us should be the centerpiece of our prayer life. That the centerpiece of your prayer life should be for God to bless you. And that, and in fact, they teach that God wants us to be selfish in our prayers, and that when we seek God's blessings, that our life, when we do this, when we begin seeking God for blessings, our life will become marked by miracles. Now, why did Jabez pray for God to bless him? That's what I want to answer tonight. And is the prayer for God's blessing common in the Bible? Is that a common thing to pray for God to bless you? And how about this idea of praying selfishly? Is that a biblical concept? We're going to look at those three questions tonight. Let's begin with this one. Why did Jabez pray for God to bless him? Why did he pray, "Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed"? Now, if you were here last week, you remember, Jabez was a Jew, and he was of the tribe of Judah. And Jabez desired to enlarge his coast, to enlarge his boundaries by obtaining more physical land. He wanted more physical land. He wanted to increase his boundaries, and he wanted to overcome his enemies, the heathen nations, so that he could increase his land area. He asked for God's blessing to be able to accomplish that. Now, there are two key promises in the Bible that will shed great light on Jabez's prayer. The first one is found in Genesis 22. Go back to the first book of the Bible, and I'll show you a key promise that goes right along with this. Genesis chapter 22. All right? Look with me at Genesis 22, verse 17. Here's what God tells Abraham, who is, of course, the father of the Jews. He said in Genesis 22, 17, He said to Abraham that in blessing I will what? Bless thee. And in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of heaven, as the sand which is upon the seashore. And thy seed, so they're going to get part of this blessing too. Thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be what? Blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. Go back to Genesis 12, and this is another goes right along with that. In Genesis 12, look what God tells Abraham, father of the Jews. Genesis 12, 1. "Now the Lord had said unto Abram, 'Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation.' And notice the promise. I will what? bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. So we see a promise. Now look up here, church. God promised to Abraham and to his Jewish descendants that he would bless and multiply them, and that he would give them physical land, the physical land of their enemies. We read that. He said, you're going to possess the gate of your enemies. So God promised that he would bless them. He promised them that land. He made them that promise. Now, the second promise that we need to think about is this. God also promised, and we saw this last week, God promised Israel that he would enlarge their coast. Exactly what Jabez prayed. God told them, I'm going to enlarge your coast. I'm going to enlarge your land area, and I'm going to give you all that land that I promised to you. Real quickly, go over to Deuteronomy. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy chapter 19. Genesis 19. I'm sorry, Deuteronomy 19. And look at verse 8. It says, God says to them, and if the Lord thy God enlarge thy coast, do you see that? As he hath sworn unto thy fathers, and give thee all the land which he promised to give unto thy fathers. So God made them a promise. He swore it to the fathers of Israel. I'm going to enlarge your coast, enlarge your land area. I'm going to give you this land that I promised to you. So now, are you with me? Jabez says, Lord, bless me and enlarge my coast. Well, as he prayed for God's blessings to enlarge his physical land area, he wasn't praying selfishly. He was just standing on God's promises that God had made to Israel. We sing that song, Standing on the Promises. That's all he was doing. It wasn't that he was praying selfishly or anything like that. He was just standing on the promises that God had made to his forefathers in the Word of God. He was standing on the promise that God would bless the seed of Abraham, and he was of the seed of Abraham. He was standing on the promise that God was going to give them the physical land area of their enemies. He was standing on the promise that God was going to enlarge their coast and give Israel the land that he promised to them. So that's all it is you've got a Jew from the tribe of Judah, and the reason why he prays for God to bless him and enlarge his coast is because God had already promised that he would do that. So he's standing, there's nothing magical or mystical about it. He was just standing on the promise that God had already made for that time period in which he lived. Now, and by the way, God answered his prayer. He was praying right in the center of God's will. He was praying right in the center of God's will for the time period in which he lived. And God chose to answer that prayer. There's no reason for God not to answer that prayer because he was standing on those promises that God made. Now, let me answer another question tonight. Is the prayer for God's blessing common in the Bible? Is that a common thing in the Bible for people to say, Lord, bless me, bless me, bless me? In that little book, The Prayer of Jabez, Christians are admonished, quote, to make it a lifelong commitment to ask God every day to bless you. And while he's at it, ask him to bless you a lot. And then it goes on to say, if you didn't ask him for a blessing, if you didn't ask God for a blessing yesterday, you did not get all that you were supposed to have. Now, there are hundreds of prayers. You understand that? There are hundreds of prayers offered up by saints of God in the Bible. It's not like this is the only example we have of a saint praying. There's hundreds of prayers in the Bible. We got prayers by Abraham, Elijah, Elisha, Moses, Paul, Daniel, David. We got prayers from great men of God, prayers of Jesus himself. We've got the prayers of Jesus Christ in here. It's not like Jabez is the only one we're dealing with. Okay, we got lots of prayers in the Bible. Hundreds. And you know, it's interesting. This is the only prayer in which an individual is specifically asking for God's blessing on himself. As you read that little book, you'd think it's all through the Bible. It's just this one time. The phrase, bless me, the phrase that Jabez used, bless me, that's only found six other times in the Bible. Six other times in the Bible, the phrase, bless me, is used. You know what? You know where they're found? Four times the phrase, bless me, is used in the shameful account of when Jacob robbed Esau of his blessing, that blessing from his father Isaac. And the fifth time that the phrase bless me is used is old wicked King Pharaoh asking for Moses to bless him as Israel left Egypt. So you got six times it's used in the Bible besides Jabez. Four times is in the shameful account of Jacob and Esau. The other time is a wicked Pharaoh asking, just selfishly really, asking for a blessing as Moses and Israel leaves. Then the only other time the phrase is used is when Jacob was wrestling with the angel. And we don't even know that Jacob realized that that was an angel. We don't know that Jacob even realized exactly who that was that he was wrestling. But, of course, we know Jacob at that time in his life was a deceiver, a schemer. He was looking out for number one. And that's the only six times that it's used in the whole Bible. Now, if you study out the 500 times that the word bless or blessed or blessing is used in the Bible, here's what you're going to find, okay? 500 times it's used, a derivative of the word bless. Many, many times in the Bible, it refers to people blessing or praising God. Let me give you an example. Go to Psalm 16. Psalm 16. A lot of times the word bless in the Bible refers to Christians blessing God. Not Him blessing us, us blessing God. And us praising Him and blessing Him. Psalm 16. Psalm 16. All right, look at verse 7. Here David says, this is a song we do, isn't it, Brother Bill? I will what? Bless the Lord who hath given me counsel. What's that song we do? I will bless the Lord and give Him glory. Oh, I will bless the Lord. That's biblical. Okay, so the Bible, many, many times, if you look at the 500 times the word bless is used, it refers to us blessing God. Okay, sometimes you'll find that whenever you see the word bless or blessing, it's people pronouncing blessings on other people. You see that also in the Bible. For instance, in the book of Ruth, you'll see that in Ruth chapter 2 and verse 4, you'll have an example of a person blessing another person. So sometimes in the Bible, you've got people that are blessing God, that are blessing Him and offering up praise and offering up a blessing unto Him. Then there's other times in the Bible where you have people that are pronouncing blessings upon people. And then there's other times in the Bible when you see that word used where God is promising a blessing to people who meet certain conditions. For instance, in Deuteronomy chapter 30, I'm going to just read it to you for time's sake. I'm going to get there real quick and read it. In Deuteronomy 30, listen to this in verse 16. It says, God said, in that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in His ways, and to keep His commandments and His statutes and His judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply, and the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it. So now I want you to notice God lays down some, you know, conditions and says, okay, if you meet these conditions, I'm going to bless you. You see that a lot of times in the Bible. Notice God did not say, in that I command thee this day, pray the prayer of Jabez, and I will bless thee and multiply thee. No. Here's what He said. He didn't say, just pray a prayer, and I'm going to bless you. No. You see, that's pretty shallow. It's a lot deeper than that. Here's what God said. Love the Lord thy God. Walk in His ways. Keep His commandments. Keep His statutes. Keep His judgments. Then I'll bless you. You with me? Say amen. See, there's not this little magical prayer you pray and God just blesses you. Oh, that's what I wanted to hear. And He blesses you. No, folks. Christian life is much deeper than that. You see, God is looking for people who He can trust with His blessings. And He's looking for people He can trust who are walking in His ways, walking in His commandments, seeking to keep His word, that have a wholehearted commitment to Jesus Christ, that have a commitment to fervently seek His face in prayer, that have a commitment to study His word, that have a commitment to be faithful to use their spiritual gifts. God's looking for people who are faithful. And that's the one that God's going to bless. So in the Bible, many times, the word blessing, it's God saying, I'll bless you if you meet certain conditions. On one occasion, God is asked to bless the nation of Israel. And then one other time, David asked God to bless his house forever, a reference to the covenant that God had made with the nation of Israel. So now, there's two important facts to consider for us living in the church age today. We know we're not living in the Old Testament. I covered that last week with you. You know, why in the world would we run to a one-verse prayer of a man living under the Old Testament law, not indwelt by the Holy Spirit, not part of the body of Christ, you know, not looking back on the shed blood of Jesus Christ, living under the bondage of the Old Testament law, and we're going to base our whole prayer life on this guy? It doesn't make any sense. And as you really look through the surface, you begin to see that. It's very easy to get caught up in something. Hey, if it makes you feel any better, in case you have gone, I've read books, I've got caught up in stuff, and then after I've had time to really just think about it, or somebody's confronted me, I'll be like, well, that's right. That's not right. You know, when I had time to really analyze it biblically. That's why we have to be very careful, don't we, when we read after men. Because what men say is not inspired, right? Only what God says is inspired. So we got to be very careful when we read after men. Because something can be packaged nice. It can have a lot of great illustrations and stories. Throw in a few Bible verses. And Christians will just bite down on it and say, yep, sounds good. You got to be very, very, very careful. There's two things to think about for the church age that we're living today. Number one, the Bible teaches that we've already been blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Ephesians 1:3, it says there that we have been blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. So for me to say, Lord, bless me, God's already done it. He has blessed me with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Man, that's incredible. And then number two, the second fact to consider, is that there is no request in the church age epistles where we have an example of a saint asking God to bless them. So in all of the church age books, Paul, in his prayers, the prayers of the saints, we don't have any example in the church age of someone just praying over and over, Lord, bless me, bless me, bless me. The third thing to consider is that every reference to God blessing church age saints, us, every reference to God blessing us is a reference to spiritual blessings, not material blessings. So here's the point. While God many times promises to bless those who meet certain conditions, we do not see a precedent in the Bible of saints pleading day after day after day for God to bless them. We don't see that in the Bible. Even Jabez, we have no evidence that he prayed that prayer other than one time. He prayed it, God answered it, done deal. So there's no evidence that Jabez prayed that same prayer over and over and over. Why would he once God answered it? You know, I mean, he wanted some physical land area. God blessed him, God answered his prayer, God gave him the physical land. Why would he keep praying it over and over again if God already gave it to him? See what I mean? And so my point is that there's just not a precedent. There's no precedent in the Bible, none whatsoever, of any saints day after day praying the same prayer for God to bless them. Now, if God wanted us to pray that every day, then of course God would have commanded us to do it, and He would have modeled it for us in the Bible in the lives of godly saints. And God hasn't done that. Now, let me answer one final question. Is praying selfishly a biblical concept? You know, I think one of the most dangerous aspects to that little book, The Prayer of Jabez, is the teaching in that book that God is somehow pleased when we pray selfishly. And when we desire His blessings more for ourselves than anything else, that He teaches that's a sign of spirituality, when we want blessings for ourselves more than anything else. This is a quote from the book. He says, let's suppose you're at a spiritual retreat in the mountains with others who want to experience a fuller Christian life. Now think about this, okay? For the duration of the retreat, everyone has been matched up with a mentor. Yours is in his 70s, and he's been touching lives for God longer than you've been alive. On the way to the showers the first morning, you walk past his room. His door is ajar, and he's just knelt down to pray. You can't resist. How exactly does a giant of the faith begin his prayers, you wonder? You pause and you lean closer. Will he pray for revival? Will he pray for the hungry around the world? Will he pray for you? But this is what you hear. Oh Lord, I beg you first and most this morning, please bless me. Startled at such a selfish prayer, you walk down the hall to your shower, and as you're adjusting the water temperature, a thought hits you. It's so obvious that you can't believe you haven't thought of it before. Now, I'm ready for a profound truth here, and here's what it is. Great men of faith think differently than the rest of us. I just kind of left me a little empty when I read that, you know. And he says, by the time you're dressed and headed for breakfast, you're sure of it. The reason some men and women of faith rise above the rest, you decide, is that they think and pray differently than those around them. Is it possible that God wants you to be selfish in your prayers? To ask for more and more and more again from your Lord? I've met so many earnest Christians who take it as a sign of immaturity to think such thoughts. They assume that they'll seem impolite or greedy if they ask God for too many blessings. Maybe you think like that. If you do, he says, I want to show you that such a prayer is not the self-centered act it may appear, but a supremely spiritual one, and exactly the kind of request that our Father longs to hear. Now, bells and whistles should be going off in believers' minds, because here we have the sanctification of selfishness. I mean, and the thing is this, is that this particular thought, he does not defend that absurd reasoning in the book by use of biblical examples. In other words, he doesn't say, okay, now I've told you this, now let me give you five examples in the Bible of this. No, there's no biblical examples given. None whatsoever. See, and there, you say, well, did he support it with Scripture? No. Why? There is no Scripture to support that story, that made-up story. That's a made-up story that he made up to make a point. But you know, there's no Scriptures to support that. There's no biblical examples to support that. And so, what do people do? When they don't have Scripture to support it or biblical examples, off to the next testimony, off to the next story, off to the next anecdote. See? Off to the next testimonial. I mean, you have to think about this. Think about how this concept would appeal to people in our current generation. Now, I want you to think about how this would appeal to people. It's not hard for me to see how this has sold 10 million copies. Think about how this would appeal to people in our day and age. Which, by the way, I mentioned 1975, no publisher would touch this. Here we are, you know, 25, 30 years later, and it sells like hotcakes. It's a different generation than it was 25 years ago. See? And think about how this would appeal to people today. Think about it. Hey, I can pray selfishly, I can get all these blessings from God, and be spiritual all at the same time. Man, I mean, that sounds great, man. What a deal. I can be selfish, get blessings, and be spiritual all at the same time. What a deal. But of course, the Bible, in fact, teaches just the opposite. In James chapter 4, look with me, and I want to show you this verse right after Hebrews in the New Testament. Hebrews, James. James chapter 4, and look what it says here. James chapter 4 in verse 3. He says here, ye ask and receive not. Talking about asking things of God. You ask and receive not. Why? Because ye ask amiss. That means evilly. You ask amiss, evil, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. So God says that when we pray selfishly, that's evil. And you know what? Let's be honest. Prayer can easily become a covetous exercise to simply get what we want. Of course, that's not what prayer is all about. Prayer is, look, folks, God is not our heavenly Santa Claus. God's not our little genie up in the sky in a bottle waiting to give us everything we wish for. That's just not what prayer is all about. Can we ask God for our personal needs? Absolutely. Absolutely. God says, let your requests be made known unto me. But God wants us to pray for our needs, but not our wants, not our selfish wants. And a lot of times I think we have a difficult time distinguishing between need and greed, because we're human. We have a little bit of trouble sometimes distinguishing between need and greed, but of course God has no problem distinguishing. And God loves us too much to simply feed our lust and our greed and our selfishness by giving us everything we ask for. Can you imagine if you gave your kid everything they asked for? I want a new bike. Okay. I want a new video game. Okay. Can you imagine if you just gave your kid anything that came to mind and you gave it to him? Can you imagine what our kids would be like? It's scary. You know. Now, God, our Father, loves us too much to just feed our lust and greed and give us everything we ask for. He loves us too much. I love Rick's testimony tonight. Didn't you, Brother Rick? I mean, that was so good. And you know what he said? He said, you know, I'd pray and I'd pray. And he said, then God would answer, but not always the way I thought. And sometimes we say, Lord, I really do need this, God. This is what I need, Lord. Please, God. And of course, the Holy Spirit then intercedes and takes that prayer the way it ought to be to God. And a lot of times, God gives us something completely different. But aren't you glad He's a good God and gives us what we need? Aren't you glad He doesn't always give us what we want, but what we need? And you know, that little book, The Prayer of Jabez, promises that if we pray this way all the time, God bless me, God bless me. He says our life will be marked by miracles. Well, the Bible never promises us a miracle because we pray. Let me just first of all say that. God never promises us a miracle because we pray. How many of you agree that Paul, the Apostle Paul, was a man of prayer? Okay, but he was beheaded. He was beheaded. You know? So, you know, God didn't do a miracle. God doesn't always do a miracle. God never promised you a miracle just because you pray. But here's what God does promise. And Rick mentioned this in his testimony. Here's what God does promise. And this I can back up in the Scripture. See, I can't back up. I can't get up here as your loving pastor and get up here. I'd love to be able to do it, but I can't in good conscience get up here and say to you, yep, you pray this little prayer and God's going to bless you. I can't do that. Because the Bible does not say that if you pray that prayer that Jabez prayed in the Old Testament for physical land there, God never says if you pray that He's going to bless you. So I cannot tell you that because I'd be lying to you. But I can make you a promise. And that is when we seek God's face in prayer and we lay our request at His feet, I can promise you He'll give you a peace that passes all understanding. And He'll keep your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. And I base that on Philippians 4:7. Rick gave that testimony tonight, how that he would pray and God would fill him with peace. Aren't you glad that's a promise that we can take to the bank? That when we pray, God may not give us everything we want. He may not answer it just the way we think it ought to be. But when we pray, sincerely, God gives us a peace that passes all understanding. And you know, I'm sure Rick prayed many, many times. I know he did. We prayed together. Lord, work it out where he doesn't have to go to prison. God chose not to answer that prayer that way. And then we pray, Lord, get him out right away. God chose to let him stay there 7.5 months. Why? I don't know all the reasons why. But I know this, God's always right on time. Amen. He's never late, He's never early, He's always right on time. Amen. And the Apostle Paul, all the great prayers that great apostle for the Gentiles prayed, all those prayers, he never prayed one time, Lord, bless me. Isn't that interesting? The great Apostle Paul, you never find him saying, Lord, bless me. But you know what he did pray for? Please get this, church. He prayed for boldness to be a witness for Christ. He prayed for spiritual understanding. He prayed for a greater love. He prayed to be filled with the fruits of righteousness. He prayed for a holy walk. Those are the things he prayed for. And those are the things that our prayer life should be focused on. Instead of just, Lord, bless me, bless me, bless me, bless me. How about, Lord, help me to live holy? Lord, help me to be a better witness for Christ. Lord, give me spiritual understanding. Lord, help me to have a greater love. God, help me to have a righteous walk. These are the things that we need to be praying about and praying for. Let's go to God in prayer tonight.